bombs fell, he snuck into the yard. A rusty shovel in the crook of his arm. He broke the frozen earth to save what he could for all it was worth. Gold-plated forks, his engraved pocket watch. Silver candlesticks nailed shut in a box. Rings and strings of pearls, desperation. Back-breaking work, he said. Dig a hole, dig it deep, and save what you can. We're all living in fear and suspicion. Dig a hole, dig it deep. Times are coming back. His wife watched from the rubble of their house. She hid their secret and blew candles out. Recalled his promise to provide, to protect their fortune for their only child. She said, dig a hole, dig it deep, and save what you can. We're all living in fear and suspicion. Dig a hole, dig it deep.
That's Guelph singer-songwriter Doris Folkins with the song Dig a Hole from her old-time-styled self-titled debut. The album was recorded and produced by one of our favorite people, Mando Maestro Andrew Collins, and it features seven original story songs with support from Andrew Collins on mandolin, Shane Cook on fiddle, and Frank Evans on banjo. To learn more about the album, we caught up with Doris Folkins at home in Guelph. How are you doing today, Doris?
I'm great, thanks, Dan.
Great to be able to talk to you. Now, I had a chance to watch you play at Folk Music Ontario last year, where I know that you picked up one of the Songs of the Heart Awards. We'll talk about that a little later on in the interview. But I was so pleased when I received your album, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about your music, because one of the things that comes through very clearly when I listen to this album is that you're really into the storytelling aspect of music. And I want to use that as a lead-in to give you a chance to talk about how you got involved in music in the first place.
Yeah, I think this whole album has been a long time coming. I've been thinking about these ancestral stories for a long time. My grandmother, she was an oral storyteller, and she saved all these stories from previous generations and told them to my mom, and then my mom told them to me. And I just had this heart to write these stories in folk music format so that they would be preserved for further generations to remember and to remember where our family came from. And there's a couple other songs that snuck their way onto the album that aren't from my family but are from a different family, but along the same lines of the idea that people's stories matter and that remembering our ancestors and the lives that they lived and their choices and how they affected us in our lives today. I guess I can start with a story. I think my involvement in music all started with my grandmother's piano. And she lived in Germany during the Second World War, and the house was bombed during three nights of air raids that happened in Hamburg. And her house was one of the houses that was hit. And so she moved all her furniture onto the back lawn, but the family piano did not, couldn't get it through the door. It was too big. So she put it underneath an archway so that it would be protected from the falling rafters and debris that was coming down from the house. And she spent several nights taking damp cloths and putting them on the keys and then rehydrating them with water when they had dried out from the heat of the flames. And she rescued this family piano. And I always wonder, if she hadn't have done that, would I have even had a piano to play on as a child? Because that piano came over the ocean when my mother married and immigrated to Canada. And that's the piano I hammered around on when I was a kid, as of 3 years old. And I just always wonder, if she hadn't have done that, would I be playing music today? And that's kind of the sentiment that I had when I started writing these songs.
So the piano was your first instrument then?
Yes.
When did you decide to switch to the guitar?
I switched to the guitar primarily because it's easier to bring different places. And when I took off to university, I didn't have a piano, and I couldn't take a piano with me. So I spent about a month before university learning and teaching myself guitar in my parents' backyard so that I have an instrument to take with me to school. And that's how that started.
So we started off with Dig a Hole. That song, obviously, to me, when I listened to it, it clearly is one of these stories from the past. Is this one of the stories that relates to your family history?
It does, yeah. It's about my grandfather, who I never met. He was 25 years older than my grandmother and had passed away when my mom was still a teenager. And a lot of the things that my mom took with her from Germany when she married originated from the house that burnt down. And what he did during that time to preserve some of the family artifacts is he dug a hole in their backyard and during wintertime, because the war was happening during winter, and it kind of just sat there over the course of the winter or the worst years of the war, and he was able to preserve a lot of family artifacts. Now, it did get looted a little bit. There were looters around the area at the time, but a lot of the stuff was able to be preserved, and I just think, like, during those hard times, you know, the resourcefulness that he came up with.
So tell us about the making of the album. You worked with, I mentioned at the start, one of my favorite people, mandolin maestro Andrew Collins, who is a fabulous engineer and producer in his own right.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about working with him and why you wanted to have the old-time feel to these songs.
Yeah, I met Andrew through a musical acquaintance. He was actually recommended to me. I actually didn't know who he was or any of his music at the time. And we met in his studio, it was probably about September 2016, to do a few demos, and I think I knew right away that his approach was exactly what I wanted for this album. I think his background of bluegrass music, old-time music, and the sound is definitely spot on for the lyrical content of the songs. He also makes a really good latte with that, you know, milk art and everything on top.
But you wanted that old-time feel. Was that because you see yourself as a songwriter that likes to tell stories through songs? Is that really what you were going for there?
That is exactly what I was going for this album, yeah.
Now, you've got some great people playing on it. I mentioned at the start, and you've got Shane Cook playing fiddle. You've got the Slocan Ramblers' Frank Evans on banjo. Also notice you've got Alistair Whitehead and Brian Kobayakawa on bass. Tell us a little bit about bringing the people together. Was that something that Andrew did, or was that something that you did?
Well, I know Frank and Alistair from Bluegrass Camp in Ontario here. So I approached them to help me out with the album, and they agreed. And then Andrew brought on the rest of the people.
So let's take a break with another song from the album. I'd like to play Lonesome in the Grave No More. Now, this is the song that you picked up the Songs of the Heart Award for.
That's right.
Best Humorous Song at the 2017 Folk Music Ontario Conference. Tell us a little bit about this one.
This is one of those stories that I came across from another friend of mine. And it was just... it was just crying out to be written into a folk tune. I could, as she was telling me this story, I could just hear this coming together because, as you know, a lot of folk songs, traditional folk songs like Bury Me Beneath a Weeping Willow or even things like Long Black Veil, there's a lot of dark lyrics in there about dying and being brokenhearted and being buried. And this song just takes it a step further because it's actually about being exhumed. And the story happened in a small town, northern Ontario, where there was a woman who died and her family buried her outside of the cemetery because there wasn't enough room in their plot. Now, her brothers just happened to be the grave diggers, and they didn't feel that this was right. So they went under the cover of darkness and dug her back up and put her on top of the other coffins that were already in their family plot and didn't tell anybody about it. So I'm actually told that her original unmarked little cross is still there to this day, and nobody, or very few people, would know that there's actually nobody buried there, that she's actually been moved.
When you write a song like this, I'm assuming that you come up with a story first and then decide how to come up with a melody that fits, because it seems a very specific story for a song, this one.
Yeah, I use a very methodical process for writing songs. So I'll start by just free writing what I feel needs to be told without, you know, paying attention to any kind of grammar or rhyme or phrasing. And then I'll start rewriting it from different points of view until I feel like it's really saying what I want it to say. And then I start sort of formulating phrases and rhymes and so on and so forth from there. So it goes through quite a long editing process. And that's kind of how this one came about, too. I started writing it, you know, from the perspective of a child first, and then I started writing it from the perspective of the grave diggers. And finally, I thought, well, maybe how about I write it from the perspective of the person in the grave and see what happens? And that's when the song just came together.
It's certainly a great song. Let's play that just now. This is Doris Fokins from her self-titled debut album, and this is Lonesome in the Grave No More. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Once lay 6 feet deep beneath the shadow of a northern pine. A wooden cross marked my spot. I was almost forgotten and lost. Now don't go telling the village priest. My brothers came up with a plan, 'cause my plot wasn't fair, it wasn't just, and they began to dig me up. I'm lonesome in the grave no more. Lonesome in the grave no more. You won't find me where I used to be. Lonesome in the grave no more. The night was dark and the lantern dim. The soil gave way to the spade. They dug me up and they dug me back in next to mother and the family grave. I'm lonesome in the grave no more. Lonesome in the grave no more. You won't find me where I used to be. Lonesome in the grave no more. The dark And no one knew when the church bells chimed that wrong had been made right. And now we rest in the churchyard, but you won't find my name on the stone. The ground settled in and the mosses grow, and all is well with my soul. I'm lonesome in the grave no more, lonesome in the grave no more. You won't find me where I used to be, lonesome in the grave no more. Lonesome in the grave no more.
That's Doris Folkins with Lonesome in the Grave No More from her new album. It's a self-titled album. Doris is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. Your debut album, you're releasing it just in a week or two, and I think you have a special CD release show in Guelph, don't you?
Yeah, the CD release will be May 26th at the Common in Guelph. Shane Cook from London will be joining me for the show. It should be fun. And the Common is kind of a special place for me because I did a lot of my writing sitting there in the coffee shop. So that's where I decided to have this party.
And I think you're playing Hillside this year, aren't you?
I am. I'm really excited about that. And Andrew Collins, Frank Evans, Alistair Whitehead, and also Sophia Harwell, who does the backup vocals on the album, will all be joining me for that show. So that will be really the first time that we've all played this album in its complete form on stage together.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, I love the idea you've got the stripped down CD release, but then to have everybody appearing at Hillside Festival, you know, with you. I mean, that is just going to be a wonderful occasion. So can you remind everybody of the dates for the Hillside Festival?
Hillside Festival is July 13th to 15th this year.
And if you want
Guelph Lake Island.
And if you want more information, check out hillsidefestival.ca. And do you have any other dates coming up that you want to mention?
Yeah, I have Desboro Music Hall coming up on the date of my actual official release, June 1st.
It's been great to talk to you today. If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
You can start with my website, which is dorisfolkins.com. And if there's something you can't find on there, you can contact me through the website.
Okay. Well, it's been great to talk to you today. We've got one thing left to do, and that is pick the final track to play. I thought we should play Right Side of the Tracks. Tell us about that song.
Right Side of the Tracks is another true story about a Canadian railroader who grew up living on the rails, working on the rails, and spent his whole career on the rails. And actually, he was so attached to his railroading lifestyle, it meant so much to him that even after his retirement, he would check the rails every day on his walk to the post office.
Well, it's been great to talk to you today. This is Doris Folkins with the song Right Side of the Tracks from her self-titled debut album. Remember, Doris has a CD release in Guelph on May the 26th, and she'll also be playing at this year's Hillside Festival. And Doris, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you today.
You as well. Thank you, Dan.
And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Still a boy when you followed behind your daddy. 5 years spent on iron tracks with hardworking crews and switches and fuses and sweat stained brows on your foreman's hat. You always lived on the right side of the tracks. Railway work put every shirt upon your back. Trains run on time when you're manning the line, and you'll die on these rails when your last train rolls by. me.